You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? Yes, I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting people roaring. I'd like to give the information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. I almost want to break out in a childhood song, you know, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, Witch Oh Witch. Remember that song? Yeah, those of you old enough to remember know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, I want to see Trump play the last verse, Swinger High and Swinger Low. Anyway, looks like she's going to skate, but welcome. Welcome, everybody. Hey, high five in the air, high five. Okay, we don't have Hillary. That's great. I know some of you are having some buyer's remorse with Donald. We'll talk about that, but look at, hey, we don't have Hillary. I don't think I've been this happy. I don't know. When have I been this happy? Oh, I don't know. Since the birth of my first child. Hey, there you go. Yeah, that's a good one right there. I am thrilled. I don't have to go into hiding and all that stuff. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. We got Joe Hagman up tonight, first hour. Can't wait to get the Hagman and Hagman perspective. They've had great shows all week. Second hour, Daniel Brigman. And you're not going to want to miss what he's going to bring to us. It's really interesting stuff, although it's kind of hide your head under the cover stuff. And in the third hour, we have Dr. Ted Brewer, my good friend. You just heard his show conclude. And Ted's going to be talking to us about a lot of things. But really, why did John Kerry go to Antarctica on Election Day? Of all days, when he should have been out there, you know, pounding flesh and making PSAs for Hillary. He was in Antarctica. Maybe he has a fetish for, I don't know, what's down there. Anyway, we'll talk about that with Dr. Ted. I want to remind everybody, we are brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals, my good friend Steve Quayle, converting worthless cash into very, let's put it this way. When you go from cash to gold, you're on top of the mountain because you sit back and you watch the cash fluctuate. And you watch the gold go up and up and up and up. Best move I ever made. I'm a happy customer, Steve's. Give him a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And for your prepping needs, and I do mean anything in prepping, call my good friend Bob Griswold. He's just a terrific guest. Isn't he interesting when he's on? In fact, speaking of being on, we're going to have Bob back for a segment next week. What do you want? Do you want night vision? Do you want water filtration? Name something. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find something associated with prepping. I don't really think he has nuclear weapons, but I think he has about everything else. Give Bob a call tomorrow. ReadyMadeResources.com. Phone number is 1-800-627-3809. That's 1-800-627-3809. Wow. Joe, let me bring you in. I'm almost speechless. In the years I've been broadcasting, I've never been so happy starting a broadcast. I am thrilled. I'm filled with fear for Donald. I'm hoping he'll carry through with his mandates. But, you know, I almost know right now what it must be like to take drugs for the first time. Never have, but yeah, it's just I'm on top of the world. I'm having dopamine and serotonin go everywhere. How you doing, Joe?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I think you said it best, the feeling of relief that we have to not have a Hillary Clinton presidency, that alone, knowing that the next 4 years will not be run by Hillary Clinton and her criminal syndicate that is around her, is enough, you know, to be, it's something to celebrate. I mean, why not? You know, so few things happen, it seems, in the political world and in the world in general. And if you consider at least not Donald Trump becoming president, but the fact that she will not be having the power that comes with that office, it sure is something to be happy about.
It was a double win. One, I can walk out of the street, rock out in the street tomorrow, and be reasonably safe that nothing's going to go on with my car when I start it up. Two, we have hope. For the first time in a long time in America, the sun was a little brighter on Wednesday after Election Day, and I just have this feeling of hope. Now, listen, I'm not hoping for a miracle here, but at least we're pushing back against the globalists. The good guys won. Joe, do you think, from the people you talked to, the consensus, this was the biggest upset win in political history?
Well, yeah, it'd have to be considered one of the greatest upsets, because if you look at even before the primary, Trump was written off. He was mocked in the media back, you know, during the while the primaries were ongoing, and he got the nomination against, you know, basically all odds. Yeah. And then he was written off by the media in this, and after he got the nomination, he was written off by the media completely. He was written off by all of the political pundits, whether they were paid by the Clintons or in, you know, collaboration with them or not. Vegas had him, you know, terrible odds. All the polling was against him, and there was what they call the silent majority. And I think, you know, with WikiLeaks and all the corruption that came out about Hillary Clinton, I think that opened a lot of people's eyes. And I think people were seeing what was happening with the Obama administration. You know, the continuation of the Bill Clinton NAFTA free trade policies, the false recovery and the lies with the economy that the Obama administration continued to put on the American people, you know, month by month, telling us that the unemployment rate was going down, when in fact, you know, more people are out of work now than, you know, most time in the history of America. So I think the American public knew exactly what to do when faced with another globalist puppet. Now, with Donald Trump, we don't know exactly what we're going to get. But like you said, there's a possibility of some good things.
There are. I mean, people are expressing some concern over appointments. I had a concern. I still do over Mike Pence. But, Joe, you know, my wife said something at dinner this evening I totally agree with. She said, if he's going to move his agenda forward, so many words, he's going to have to reach out to all groups and try to find a consensus while maintaining his core. And that's why I'm going to give him some slack here on some of these appointments, including a Goldman Sachs person and so forth. I mean, how do you see what's transpiring so far with the direction he's beginning to take his appointees?
Well, Dave, to be honest, I have not paid a lot of attention to who he has been appointing. I know that he had Rudy Giuliani and Newt Gingrich that he was considering for positions. I have not seen who he has selected thus far, but if he's getting you know, backlash from his picks, you have to wonder how this is going to work with, when he is not an establishment guy. Is he being persuaded and influenced into some of these picks as if they're good decisions, when in reality they are insurance for the people around Trump to try to control him? The game of politics, especially at these levels, are and can be very dangerous. So, you know, I'm not sure what's going on. It's something I'll definitely be looking at in the next couple days. But, and Pence, I know a lot of people do like Pence, but There are questions about him also. What's gonna make the difference here? And I think last week you asked this question about the first 100 days of the Hillary presidency. Well, what will make the distinction is the first 100 days of a Trump presidency, when we see, you know, what direction he goes in, if he makes any moves with the economy. If you paid attention to the liberal pundits out there, I can't remember off the top of my head which one, you know, said it, but it was along the lines of, oh my goodness, there goes Obamacare, there goes Dodd-Frank. So these pundits believe that he is going to reverse some of the more damaging policies domestically here in the United States.
Well, he's alluded to the fact, without being specific, that he actually likes some things about Obamacare. And before we jump all over that, Joe, I have to tell you, I do too. Today, with college costs being the highest in the world for our students, many of our young people do stay home with their parents to age 26, sometimes beyond, because, in a word, the economy stinks. And college costs are horrendous. And Obamacare makes insurance, providers cover you until they're 26. I like that one. And I like the idea that they've cut out exclusion from pre-existing conditions. Beyond
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Joe, is there anything else about Obamacare that we should like?
You know, maybe there are some things, but I think a few of the main points about Obamacare that people didn't like is the way it was, A, presented to the American people, and then the way it was lied about to the American people, and the way that it has been forced on the American people. You know, the lies of, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You know, Nancy Pelosi, if you want to know what's in the bill, you have to pass the bill. These are the kind of things that Obamacare went through. And when you're forcing the public to do something or punishing them for not complying with your mandate, that's pretty bold, and that's pretty oppressive. And I think just those issues alone made Obamacare, you know, this pariah. But yes, there are some good things about and changes that can be made, that have been made through the Obamacare, like you alluded to, that are good for America. The pre-existing conditions definitely being one of them, and you know, helping and giving tax breaks to people, you know, who run businesses and whatnot that provide health care for their employees.
Well, we're talking to Joe Hagman, who's one half of the Hagman and Hagman broadcast team, called the Hagman and Hagman Report, a show which airs right here on Global Star Radio Network, same as us, same as Dr. Ted. And their show is on from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And Joe, you know, let me go back to Wednesday. I couldn't wait to get behind the microphone on the show Sunday, but I had to wait 5 long days. What was it like to do that show Wednesday night, knowing that Trump had won?
Well, you know, that it felt good. The day before, we did something unorthodox than our
yes.
normal show. You know, normally, as you just told the audience, we go live 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Well, what we did was we ran a special 6-hour election show that ran from 6 p.m. until midnight. And the show was live, all 6 hours on YouTube. And we were watching the election results come in. We had a number of guests come on for 15 minutes, half hour, and come on and give their opinion of what was happening. But I paid very close attention. I had a few different maps up. And we pretty much knew before midnight that Trump had won the election. We were just waiting on the actual, you know, official, the announcement of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, I think it was. But it felt really good. I was surprised. I was happy, and I was surprised that he won. And what surprised me about the election was the amount of popular votes Hillary Clinton got. I don't know if I believe that she got that many popular votes.
I don't either.
And I think it was a case of the American people outvoting the voter fraud that was committed. And we talked about that the week before on your show.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you in four words why she got as much of the popular vote as she did. George Soros voting machines. Plain simple.
Yeah, and ballot stuffing.
I mentioned this last week. We had so much impropriety here in Maricopa County where I live. Ballots uncounted for Trump on the ground in the parking lot. People were scared. People would call the media. Media wouldn't even talk to them. So they ended up getting a hold of me because they figured, you know, they sounded reasonable. I would air it, and I did. That was outrageous.
Yeah.
And then we had the report that I made last week about the individual who came to me through a trusted source said they were offered $150,000 as an elector. So this isn't over, and the money would go offshore, could never bring it back in, so it's not traceable. They don't know who offered. Mystery people, but it all fits together. And then our local Channel 3 here, Joe, independent station, showed conclusively how Trump votes entered in these machines that were owned by Soros would go to Hillary Clinton. So much
fraud.
Yeah,
and then they would never go, from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump by accident. But you have to understand, and I know you do, and I know a lot of your listeners do, that what was at stake and what needed to be done to maintain, to gain and maintain power was very minimal risk-wise compared to what they have already done. The body trail behind Hillary Clinton, the corruption, the scandals, all the crimes that she has committed. What's a little voter fraud on top of, a dozen murders and some of the biggest government corruption and bribery charges and treason in history? So, of course they were going to try, but thank the Lord that they were unsuccessful. Now we face a challenge with Donald Trump. Will he be the man he said he was going to be when running for president? Will he stick to his word on, the vetting of illegal immigrants? Will he, work on reforming the economy? Will he be proactive in doing the things that will bring prosperity back to our nation? These are the questions we need to ask when looking forward. And one thing that's very interesting is this anti-Trump backlash that we've seen in the streets, a number of cities, protests, Atlanta, Portland, L.A., New York, people being beaten up who support Trump, people in the media stating that, Trump could get assassinated or he'll be impeached within his first year. I think a New York Times editor said that. There is a liberal meltdown out there, is what they're calling it. And I think this is something we need to pay very close attention to, because this is dangerous for Trump in many ways. You don't know, how far will these people take it?
Interesting. The meltdown was no more evidence than in our college campuses, where on Wednesday, and I'm sure you saw about, I wrote about this, and I'm sure you took note that professors, including law professors, were canceling classes. They were calling in counselors. They were having cry-ins, safe zones they could run to, because Clinton had lost. These are adults, for God's sake. It was unbelievable, Joe, what I saw.
Yeah.
I saw the complete, how do I put it kindly? Emasculation state of our young male college students. I'm sure they're not all that way, but those people who were disappointed, I understand. I had to live through 8 years of Obama, 8 years of Clinton, 8 years of Bush. I've been pretty unhappy for 24 years. Now you get to live through at least 4 years of Trump, and I didn't have to go to a safe zone. Joe, I'm sure you didn't. I didn't have to have counselors called in because hide the razor blades, I'm so unhappy. This was the ultimate in sissiness.
Yeah. And unfortunately, whatever you'll call this movement, people say it's the snowflake generation, social justice warriors. It is, it's such an oxymoron the way, what they say they stand for versus how they act and react. they want their safe spaces. They want, you know, things. They want to be called and addressed by certain titles, unless you will offend them, heaven forbid. And then, you know, you're some kind of labeled as some kind of bigot. But when they don't get things to go their way, they turn into these rabid, angry, you know, emotion-filled individuals that lash out, you know, and start committing verbal attacks and committing acts of violence even. It's very interesting to see, because what they speak against is violence and you know, division. But that's one thing that's happened with this Trump presidency, and it was going to happen either way. If Hillary won or if Trump won, is the nation was going to continue to grow more divided. And I think this is being done intentionally. It always has been done intentionally. It's a psychological warfare operation that's being conducted on the American public, because if we are divided against ourselves, we will not come together against what the government and the corrupt powers that be are doing to us.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's all about PSYOPs. You know, I had Jim Mars on 4 or 5 years ago, and I asked Jim, I said, Jim, what's the best thing we could do to fight back against the globalists? He said, turn your damn TV off, quote unquote. And I said, what will that accomplish, Jim? He said, you'll stop being propagandized. You'll start thinking for yourself. You'll see the world the way it really is. Jim was right.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at, throughout the history of television, radio, and even in the press and the newspapers, there have been psychological operations and warfare being conducted against people through propaganda, you know, behavioral influence theories that they put out there to try to get people to act certain ways. And warfare propaganda was very popular. And what we see today, weaponized propaganda for the purpose of continuing an agenda. The agenda we're talking about now is a new world order, and it's a conspiracy to enslave each and every person economically, politically, and any other way that we can, and medically. And, you know, they are moving towards that goal. One of the things that happened this last week that was not covered due to the elections was an executive order that the president signed, I think it was about a week before the election, which dealt with, it was an executive order on the prevention of airborne and infectious diseases. And I don't have it right in front of me, but I will pull it up. And it's very interesting.
It was for pandemics,
it's a global
yeah.
health initiative. It's part of the UN, the World Health Organization, and it's a global health security agenda initiative.
It was about pandemics. What concerned you about that executive order?
Well, for one, they have a number of international organizations involved in this. And what concerned me most was the talk about prevention and surveillance when dealing with infectious diseases. Because when you start to get into prevention, you're talking about things like immunizations, vaccines, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But when you're talking about surveillance, you're getting into some gray areas, because that could mean a number of things. We know that the government has created and has been working on a medical device microchip, a Class 2 RFID microchip for patient identification and health information. And this is supposed to become universal and store your medical data. And this is something that's been in the works and the planning for a very long time.
What do you see the potential for misuse?
Oh, with the RFID chip?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're talking about prophecy in Scripture now, I believe, with the Mark of the Beast. Many people have their different opinions on what the Mark of the Beast might be. And I've read the Bible. I've read the book of Revelation many times. I can't say definitively that this is it, but if I can't think of anything that would fit the mold in a better way that can be implanted inside your hand and your forehead. People are already having these chips implanted inside of their hand for various reasons, you know, Bitcoin, and for easier access to, you know, biometric data and features around your house, like unlocking your doors. But the ability for them to catalog and categorize every single person in the country and in the world and keep track of them at any given time, and on top of that, control the money through these chips, is it's complete control, and it is exactly what the Bible says will happen in the end times. So this is the danger I see with these RFID chips.
So you look at this as kind of an executive order 666?
Well, not the executive order per se, because there is, you know, this started, the implementation of this agenda started, you know, before the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the National Telecommunications Security Act in the 40s, I believe, and even before that. There have been provisions in different parts of the United States Code that have been created just for these purposes. The Affordable Care Act did make some provisions with it and push it forward, and also push the requirement date forward. And last time I checked, it was 2017. It was supposed to be mandatory for a Class 2 device, which is that RFID chip. Now, they might have pushed it back since, but I have not seen that. And that's, I mean, you know, that's a whole other conversation, because, you know, we could talk for hours about just that chip alone and what they plan to do with this agenda. But this executive order is a step towards bringing the logistical components internationally together, in getting the different agencies involved, and on the giving them the ability to work on the same page and platform, you know, with these new tools that they're using that relate to the RFID chip.
Well, so you think it's an incremental step on the way to the mark of the beast?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, and it will continue. You know how we see now a growing trend is people in the healthcare industry who refuse to get a flu shot or some type of vaccine will be fired from their employment, place of employment. We're going to start to see that with this chip, and it'll start in the financial sectors, in the hospitals, and I believe it'll be rolled out, you know, in pilot programs in places like nursing homes and maybe even maternity wards. And then it'll get to a point where, you know, you have the option with incentivized option, and then there will become a point where it will become penalized and you will not be able to get medical treatment, or you will not be able to use their system of money or banking or commerce unless you comply and go with their agenda. And I believe that's how they will implement it. And it will be a slow process. But once the hammer comes down, I mean, that's it. You're cut off from society forever unless you take that mark.
With regard to the medical records, isn't there going to be a bigger tie-in to just a national ID? And if you want to travel, you got to have the whole package?
Well, it is an international system. It's not just a national system. It's going to and will be all internationally linked. Now, I'm not sure if that's how it's going to be when it's initially rolled out. They already have electronic health records right now, and they're more, you know, based on which doctors' offices and agencies are using them. You know, a lot of doctors have retired since the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was passed. And I think I read recently it was 7 or 8 out of 10 doctors went along with electronic health records. Some still have refused to do so. But if you have electronic health records, that it just means you have a file, a health file, on a computer at a doctor's office. And once that file is created, if you read the actual disclaimer given to you by your insurance company, it basically says it can share it with any company or corporation that it deems necessary. It can share it with, you know, just about anybody. I mean, it really, it's a laundry list of people and companies that that should never have access to your health records that are allowed to. And then it even goes in there to say, at least ours does, that if we want, you know, certain information, that it might not be able to be provided to us. It's very draconian.
Very draconian. Let me shift gears for a minute. I probably am looking at a dozen emails that talked about activation of FEMA camps. Has that crossed your desk? Have you and your dad talked about this at all?
Not the activation of FEMA camps. I mean, we've all seen the numerous reports of military personnel and equipment being moved from place to place, whether it be via trains or other ways of mobilization. But I have not heard anything of FEMA camps being activated. We know that recently new statistics came out and showed that there was over 40,000 detainees, of illegal immigrant detainees, in some of these, I don't know if you call them FEMA camps or detention centers. So I don't know if that's, you know, pertaining to that. But nothing that we have seen that directly talks about FEMA camps or the activation of such camps.
Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, this is the reports coming to me externally, and I've not been able to confirm them. But I will tell you what I'm looking at. And I talked about this with your father, that people are citing foreign troops more and more. In fact, let me just share with you an anecdote from my good friend Paul Martin from Revolution Radio. Paul has a friend who was eating in Loveland, Colorado. It was Veterans Day. He had his old uniform stuff on. And a guy asked him in a Russian voice, "Are you military?" He goes, "Retired." And the guy went on to the exchange conversation, and turned out this guy was Russian Navy, Russian military. He was here. And he was asked, "Well, how many of them are here in the area?" And he says, "I don't really know the number, but we have everything, including Spetsnaz." And then we go and talk about Paul's shooting range, where the Gurkhas have been there, and they're the group that's been trained by the Brits in anti-guerrilla warfare. And they've been there for quite a while and have been interacted with the locals. And then the sighting of Russian troops is... it's commonplace in northern Colorado. Joe, I think what I'm getting from people is not so much that foreign troops are really coming into the country in greater number, but they're becoming more visible and more public. Are you hearing anything about that?
No, not personally. You know, we get hundreds and hundreds of emails each day. Unless it's something I've missed, I have not seen anything of that nature. Now, we all know that there have been numerous operations where Russian and other foreign troops train on U.S. soil, for different intelligence missions and operations, working with the intelligence agencies. But I have not seen members of our audience or people, tell me that they have seen any kind of increased presence of foreign troops or foreign personnel, for that matter, recently. Now, I don't know why they'd be coming more visible than normal. That doesn't seem, very tactically intelligent.
Prudent. I agree. But we're getting more reports. I mean, this goes way beyond Paul Martin. I mean, I could sit here and I could do an hour monologue just on the emails I'm getting on this topic. Now, because I've reported on it, I think I'm a magnet for this information, and I get that. But I look at these people, and they seem to be reasonably well-intentioned. They seem to be on top of things, Joe, and I look at these reports, and I don't have any reason to think it's a plant or an attempt to mislead me in some way. The reason I bring it up is this. We have, what, less than 6 weeks until Trump takes office? Do you really think the globalists are going to lay down and let this happen?
Well, you know, I would hope in their world that an assassination of the President of the United States is probably about the most visible thing you can do, making yourself vulnerable to being exposed. So I would wonder what other methods they would take first, and would hope that they would have other plans of persuasion, to try to get their influence or get their hooks into Trump. Now, is Trump the kind of man that would fold? And I think you said this on your show last week. You know, when asked why is he running, what does he have to gain? You know, he has nothing to gain. He could retire. He could have sat back and kept living the good life as the billionaire that he was, instead of having to take one of the highest pressure jobs in the whole globe. And hopefully he took that job, and as we believe he did, for the purposes of his campaign slogan, to try to make America great again, to restore many of the things that the globalists have put in place that have deprived this country of its wealth and resources, both human and monetary resources, and try to bring the power back to the people and the sovereign nation. The globalists will not want this to happen, but we also know that they're patient, and we also know that they will wait hundreds of years, thousands of years, because we all know the person behind this, or the entity behind this, is Satan himself, and he will do what he has to get his agenda across, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. That's more important to those people who are human, who are helping him carry that out here on Earth. But as we have seen throughout history, that his agenda aligns with the corrupt powers that be in the world, from when Jesus was crucified all the way, through the empires up until now. That this is his world, and the Bible talks about that explicitly, that we are not of the world, nor to love the things in the world, and that the things of this world are of the devil. So it is just a matter of when will that agenda be fulfilled and completed here on Earth. Hopefully we've been granted a reprieve by the Lord through Donald Trump in order to get ourselves in better shape spiritually, financially, and otherwise.
What do you fear over the next 6 weeks?
I don't fear anything over the next 6 weeks. I would be concerned with the economy, whether it be a cyber attack or some kind of market correction. And I would fear for any type of false flag or major terrorist attacks that could lead to international conflicts, or anything that would disrupt the natural transition of power that this has been in place in this nation since its foundation.
Cyber attacks to take down the economy. I agree. That's one of my concerns. Any other possibilities out there that you think that the George Soros puppeteers might engage in?
Well, we see this civil unrest, and yes, it is pretty bad when people are getting hurt. Even had protesters fighting each other, anti-Trump protesters fighting each other, one being shot. I think that it hasn't gained the traction that they thought it would, these movements, anti-Trump movements. So you might look for an infusion of personnel to try to get these things amped up again, to get them going, much more hardcore than they are now. And I would just you know, watch Obama, watch the White House, watch to see what's going on in the Middle East. Is Obama going to sit back and allow an easy transition of power, or will he try to stir up trouble in a way that will, as I said earlier, disrupt that natural flow of the transition of power and stay in office, or create some kind of constitutional crisis? There's also talk of the Electoral College, which I doubt that this is even a possibility, but we know that they don't vote until the 19th of December, of them not voting for Donald Trump. But I don't believe that to be the case at all. I don't think that it can do that. That's beyond the scope of their authority. So I think we will be fine there.
29 states, I believe, the electors can do whatever they want. They're not bound to vote for their party candidate.
Okay.
And there are nine names that were published. I saw this 2 days ago. Nine names of Republican electors that said they were not going to vote for Trump. Hillary would need, by my count, see, what is Trump at? 306? She would need 38 of these to change their mind to win the Electoral College.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And I'm not saying it's not possible, and what you're implying couldn't be accomplished, especially by, you know, the most corrupt politician ever to run in the history of the presidency. But I just don't see the people in the Electoral College doing something so drastic that would cause such an uproar within their country. I mean, it would literally tear the country apart. And I would have to think the powers that be are smarter than that.
I tend to agree with you, Joe, but let's just say, could we turn 38 electors for $1 million apiece offshore, untraceable? George Soros, he's got $38 million to throw at this.
He could give them each $10 million and not bat an eye.
There you go.
But I think and would hope that the integrity of our process is more valuable to these people than money would be, I would hope.
I wish I was that optimistic about human nature. I have become so soured in the political arena. My personal life, Joe, this hasn't carried over. I have good friends. I have great family, a lot of trust. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the political arena, I don't trust these bastards any farther than I can throw them.
No, and I agree
with
you there.
They've earned this reputation. They've earned my mistrust.
Yeah.
I just...
This is the way that they do things. They're underhanded, they backstab, they betray, and yet they are surprised when they don't have a loyal base, and they wonder why. Hillary Clinton and her supporters wonder why. How could she lose? Even the media, scratching their heads. And where are these people that were going to move? George Stephanopoulos, I think he's out of here. Some of these actors and celebrities. Let's see if they're going to hold their own feet to the fire and leave the country. This hopefully, and some people are saying this on the left, to use this time to give Donald Trump a chance to try to come together to see what can be done, what can be accomplished. Now, do I believe that they're actually going to try? I would lean to no on that. Are they going to maybe appear to try? Possibly. But many people believe that Donald Trump won't be given the chances that he deserves. As again, he was written off this election before the primaries. After he won the primaries, just by about every major media outlet and publication. And, here he is, the winner. And you have people freaking out because of it. Will this cause a greater divide? Or will the people wake up and start to come back to reality and see that it's not so bad? They're not going to be hung in the public square you know, they're not going to be grabbed up, thrown in jail, and maybe we can all move forward together.
Boy, the idealism, I love it. I want to share in it. I'm optimistic, but I don't think I can be idealistic, Joe. You know, the way that the Reagan administration got twisted was not because Ronald Reagan got twisted. Yeah, I know he went into cognitive decline in his second term, but I'm talking about even earlier than that. The way they got to him was his cabinet. They were staffed full of trilaterals. Then you back up to Jimmy Carter, his predecessor. Jimmy Carter, at one time, I thought was a decent guy. I no longer think that. With the things that come out of his mouth now, he sounds like Hillary. But I thought at one time he was a decent guy. But who ran the show? Zbigniew Brzezinski, the ultimate globalist. Henry Kissinger, the ultimate globalist. The Rockefellers had their handprints all over his presidency. He didn't have any say. And he ran his country into the ground. And Ronald Reagan, although he did a lot for the country, he never achieved the full potential that he could have got because of who was around him. And that's why I am being hyper-vigilant with Donald Trump in terms of who he lets into his playground.
Well, you know, the scenario you just brought up, I know that this is true with the people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger's. And, you know, George Bush Sr., he was another one who would run the White House from the shadows, even Dick Cheney during George Bush Jr.'s presidency. And yes, there is the possibility that the power, you know, what we always, my dad always would say, you know, he believes that when people become presidents, they're put in the basement of the White House, sat in a chair, and shown the video of the JFK assassination and told, you know, you're going to listen to what we say or this is going to happen to you. And whether that actually happens or something similar to that happens is a very real possibility if you think about the evil and the corruption that runs at the very top levels of our political institutions. So yes, what you just described is a very real possibility. It's a matter of Trump, his principles, and how far he's willing to go to stand by, you know, truth and righteousness, if that's exactly what he's trying to do.
Yeah, if that's what he's trying to do, and, you know, I do think he is trying to, but he's also a deal maker, and, you know, sometimes if you bring in the wrong guys for the deal, you know, too many cooks spoil the broth, as they say. I'm worried. I'm worried greatly about who he's bringing in, and I'll tell you what else I'm worried about, Joe. I'm worried about Mike Pence, Mr. Free Trade, I love Obamacare guy. He may not even be cognizant of this, but if Trump were to get assassinated, Mike Pence would put the government much closer in the direction of Hillary Clinton than certainly they would have been with Donald Trump. And that concerns me. And today I did an analysis. I wrote an article up on the Common Sense Show, and I listed the six reasons why I thought John Kennedy was killed. I mean, there were more than six, but the six major. And I went through and I did an analysis of what Trump says he's going to do. The parallels are stunning. They're not identical, but he's making mad the same people. Are you worried about assassination, Joe?
I mean, it's a very real possibility. You know, many people were concerned with assassination when Obama had his first term.
Yes.
Because of, you know, the racism, because of the hatred, and because of, you know, other reasons that many people were concerned that could happen. And that's because Obama was a completely different type of presidential candidate from what, you know, people were ever used to seeing. And I think Trump is the same way, in a different way. You know, he's not the traditional, career politician. He has a captivating personality, and he has been a successful businessman for a long time. And, you know, he's 70 years old. He has a business empire, and he has seen firsthand the effects, as have everybody who owns businesses, the middle class getting the their resources taken away from them. The manufacturing jobs being gutted from all different sectors of America. And the decline of the, you know, the American dream and the value of America. So he is in a position to reverse some of the things or attempt to change some of the things back to what made America prosperous and what made, you know, the people of America prosperous, most importantly. And hopefully he'll have the chance to do that.
Joe, what do you think about gridlock in Congress against Trump's policies? How real of a possibility is that?
Well, it's always a possibility when you're dealing with Washington and politics. Now, you have both a thinly controlled Republican Senate and you have a Republican-controlled House of Representatives. So, in theory, you would think it would be easier for Trump to get through a lot of what he wants to get through, but then when you look at things like the free trade, many of the Republicans were pro-free trade, pro-TPP. So, you know, the issues like that, will we see him be able to get some things accomplished along free trade lines with that kind of divide inside the party internally? Then you have examples like Planned Parenthood and abortion, where you have many Democrat and Republican lawmakers paid, basically, bribed for their vote to make sure Planned Parenthood continues to receive its funding and keep its doors open. So you're going to run into those kind of walls on a number of different issues also. And that will always, that always has been, and that will always be. So you will have gridlock just on those issues alone, but then you have to take into account the level of disdain that many politicians have for Donald Trump for whatever reason, most likely because they're establishment related. That can create additional problems. But I think that the country would call their congressman out on that. I would hope that they would, at least.
I floated an idea, and I suppose it's not realistic, Joe. And it hasn't gotten any traction. But as long as we allow corporate campaign donations in the Congress, they are never going to represent the people's interest. And I would favor, if I were Trump, if I were in the Oval Office in 6 weeks, I'd get on TV and I would repeat the same message. American voters, make sure your Congress knows in the next election they don't get reelected unless we impose term limits and unless we have campaign contributions by corporations outlawed. Make it a felony to offer or accept. Because mm-hmm. I think until he gets the corporations out of Congress, he's never going to be able to do anything about the free trade agreements or illegal immigration.
Well, you're right, because the free trade agreements are based around corporate interests. So, you know, as long as they have the influence and the power of the purse, you'll never see successful legislation against them.
I agree. I could not agree with you more. I just look at this, Joe, and I think gridlock is going to be tremendous, but he can still serve a purpose. The global agenda that will come through Congress, especially in areas like Agenda 21, Trump is in a position where he can block a lot of this. He can call attention to it in ways that the globalists don't want.
Yeah, I mean, it really will be interesting to see not only what comes down the pike that he allows in or you know, denies, but a lot of what he tries to implement that is... how contested that will be. And we also know, you know, that one of the big issues about the Hillary Clinton presidency and the concerns was that the next president is going to be able to put some Supreme Court judges into office. And who will those, you know, picks be that Trump will inevitably make? And will we see a fight, you know, with people he just wants to put on the Supreme Court? It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. It's a different political atmosphere than it has been. I think people, the anxiety is relatively gone that was building up the last few months up until, you know, this last election Tuesday. even the ones that are bad or angry at a Trump presidency, once they settle down, will realize, you know, that things have not drastically changed, and you know, people are going to be able to continue to live their lives the way that they have, and we'll be able to move forward, and then we'll be able to sit back and see, you know, what we were just talking about. Who's Trump going to surround himself with? What's he going to do in the first 100 days? How much of what he said is he going to start? Is he going to implement? And where is he going to start? It's going to be interesting to see.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, it's going to unfold, and we'll get a few more chances to talk about it before he actually takes office. Joe, in the time we have left, I want you to talk a little bit about your dad's book and how people can get a copy of it. Terrific book, selling a lot of copies, and let's make that more known to my listening audience.
Oh, thank you, Dave, and absolutely. My father is an author. He's been a private investigator for about 30 years, and I worked as a private investigator with him for at least 10, 15 years. And during the early part of his career, he experienced a murder in the family. His uncle was murdered. And the police really didn't reach any conclusions or get anywhere in the investigation for over 5 years. And so my father started his own investigation into the cold case murder of his uncle. And the book is, using, you know, pseudonyms, is the story about the murder and the investigation and what it led my father to see and reveal and be exposed to, and inevitably solving the murder, which was something that the police didn't do, and really launching his and legitimizing his private investigative career. And the book's Stained by Blood. You can go to stainedbyblood.com or hagmanandhagman.com. It's on Amazon, and get the book. It's a great read.
Wow, that's I just get so many people tell me how good it is that I got it and they've read it. It's also available on thecommonsenseshow.com, right hand side. Click it on, take you right to the ordering page, and it's there for your ordering and review. I'll tell you, you guys are doing great work over at Hagman and Hagman Report. Tremendous. I had great reports of the election show. Wish I could have tuned in, been part of it, tied up with my own stuff. But good work this week, guys. I mean, between you and your dad and what Steve's doing on his website, you guys really have it covered. And our listening audience is all the better for it. Joe, we got to run. We're out of time, and we look forward to having you back on again soon.
Thank you, Dave, and you keep up the fantastic work, and God bless you and your show and your listening audience, and we'll talk to you next week.
Very good, Joe. Joe Hagman, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in hour number 2 with Daniel Brigman.